Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
You may not know this lady. She's a visitor.
Yes.
First time, and you feel like the Lord's giving you something to share with this congregation. Okay, feel free.
Okay, I'm from Wisconsin. We just walked in the door, and it's like feeling like home, first of all. Feeling like I'm at home. But as we sang, to God be the glory for the things he has done, I turned to my husband and I said, I haven't heard that song in so long, but God gave me that song. In 1983, I had a stillborn baby. And the week that I carried him, and I was young, and I didn't know. I was a new believer. I didn't know a lot. But for whatever reason, that song, I knew that song. So the week that I carried him, the Lord, that song just went on over and over and over in my mind. And at the time, you know, you're not thinking, give glory to God for the things he has done. And as the years went by, though, and as, you know, again, listening to it again, since then, I've had 3 children, and I have 10 grandchildren right now. And God, you know, as there was a time where I was afraid after I had delivered him that I wasn't going to have any more children, I was afraid. You know, the enemy will put fear on you when something like that happens. But God had another plan.
Amen.
He had another plan. The place I am today from back then is phenomenal as what God has done. But he gave me scripture during that time when I was afraid. And again, I didn't know the word. I didn't know the word. And I was watching Pat Robertson on TV. And he said, listen, and God will speak to you. And so, just like what you guys have been saying today, it's like just this sense of, you know, take off the brakes. Just listen. Just let it happen. Let God speak to you.
Amen.
And he said the words to me, Psalm 127, 28. I had no idea the Psalms even went up that high. I didn't know. But you know what? I read them, and if you go read them, they're about children. Children are a heritage to the Lord. This was when I was afraid I was going to have no more children. And he gave me those scriptures.
Hallelujah.
And again, I had 3 children, healthy children after that. Like I said, they were married, 10 grandkids. And, you know, to glory to God for the things he has done. You're going to see when you're in a dark place, you know, as you just listen. You know, you don't even have, I mean, I wasn't even seeking. God was seeking me.
Amen.
He was seeking
Amen.
Me. And he led me and he drew me. And I got spirit-filled after that baby had died. And so many things that have happened since then. But, you know, glory to God for
Amen.
The things he has done. He reminded me of that today.
Amen. Thank you, Sue. Bless your heart. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, worship team. Awesome. Yeah. Keisha is right over here. Wave at everybody, Keisha. She called me this week, and you might need to turn my microphone up a little bit or turn my ears up or something. She reminded me of about taking communion. She felt like the Lord told her to call me and tell me that, and I said, wow, that's really good, because we have communion here every week, and, you know, I got COVID twice. Pam only got it once, but she said, you know, that when you go up there and receive communion, go up in faith and believe that you're going to get all the benefits.
Yes.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. And one of his benefits is divine health and healing that prevents us from getting stuff. So that spoke to my heart, because I thought, well, I must be going up and kind of, it's become a ritual for me, and you need to exercise the faith and lay claim to the benefit of divine health and healing that prevents you from getting sickness and disease. God wants us, he'll heal us if we're sick, but it's better to have divine health.
Amen.
So that helped me, and I want to thank you for that word. That encouraged my heart, so I want to encourage you, just make sure. I didn't realize it, but I think I had kind of gone through the motions each week rather than really receive all the full benefits. So this morning, that was especially helpful to me to receive divine health. Amen. Amen. Hello. You got something for us, Gail? Okay. Let me have this microphone. Okay, what's on your heart?
Tongues. Mm-hmm. And I still don't understand why God does this for me. But He speaks so clearly to me whenever I hear tongues. Thursday night we were practicing and it wasn't going good. It really wasn't going good. And Michelle said, "We haven't prayed yet." So she began to pray. And then she began to speak in tongues. And I could hear it. And basically God said, "I'm here. If there's 100 people here or no people here, I'm here. Forget about the crowd.
Amen.
Forget about everything that's going on around you. I'm here." And then all weekend I couldn't sleep because I said the interpretation in my little microphone and the guys back there on the back didn't hear it. And God wouldn't let me sleep. And He said, "You go back." So this morning, I told them what the interpretation was. But she said the exact same thing. And I knew that was a confirmation. If I've never heard a confirmation before, that was a confirmation.
About the
that God
union?
Is here.
Oh, God is here.
Amen.
He's
Amen.
Here.
Amen.
If we don't have 10 people or if we have 350, He's the only one that matters.
Amen. We need that reminder, though. Amen. And preachers need to hear that more than anybody. Because sometimes we determine the level of our passion by the crowd. And that's wrong. That's wrong. We need to look to God.
Amen. Amen. Because He's always
here. I remember preaching in Bible college and getting opportunity to go supply preach at different churches. And one time, I'll never forget, we went to this church, and I stayed up almost all night long preparing a sermon Saturday night. And we were way out there in the woods somewhere. And we got to church that morning. I'm supply preaching for the pastor. He's on vacation. And three people showed up. And two of them was my wife and my daughter. And she was pregnant, so 2 and a half, yeah. And, you know, it was kind of discouraging. But I went on ahead and preached, and God helped. And I don't know if anything particular happened. It's really none of my business, but I preached what He gave me and preached it. And we went home, and I'm reminded of that today. Thank God there's more than three people here. But even if there wasn't, it shouldn't make any difference. You know, today I want to talk to you about the greatest thing in the world. The greatest thing in the world. It's what God says. Jesus was asked by a man, He said, "What's the greatest commandment?" And you know the answer. Jesus said, "The greatest commandment is this: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second's like to it: you shall love your neighbors yourself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." That's awesome. That's it. He said, that's the greatest thing in the whole world, is loving God. Loving God. That's the greatest thing in all the world. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, and He knew this was going to be His last evening with His disciples, He washed their feet. He had communion with them. He showed them how to have communion from there on. And then he basically said, you can read it in your Bible, everything in John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. He's given them some last instructions. He's about to leave the earth. He's going to turn the ministry over to them. And these are last words that are very, very important words. And one of those words he said is this in John 13, verse 34 and 35. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. He's saying this is the main thing for the church. It's the main thing to keep focused on, is loving people like God has loved us. And how God has expressed this incredible love. And this week I did some meditation on this particular, these two verses. And I remind you of what I shared with you last week in the last week's message, the Hebrew word for love. And Jesus spoke Hebrew. And he would have spoke Hebrew when he was talking to his disciples. And he used the word ahav. Ahav, which is two words. Ah is a short version of Abba. And hav means revealed. So the word actually means the Father revealed. That's what love means. Love means the Father revealed. And so I took that meaning of the Hebrew meaning for love and I put it in place wherever the word love is there expressed, either from God to us or us to God or to others. And you read it like this, and it makes a lot of sense. Because when you talk about love, it's hard to get a handle on it. You know, love is like trying to grab smoke. You know, how do you get a handle on it? And this helped me, maybe to help you, kind of get a handle on what we're talking about. Love. And so love, in the Hebrew, it means the Father revealed. So when you put that in there in place of the word love, it reads like this. A new commandment I give to you that you reveal the Father to one another. You reveal the Father to one another as I have revealed the Father to you, that you also reveal the Father to others. And by this, all men will know that you're my disciples if you reveal the Father to one another. And that makes sense to me. It helps me get a handle on understanding why God says this is the greatest commandment and it's the most important thing that there'll ever be in this world. There's an interesting revelation the Apostle Paul had in Philippians 1. In Philippians 1, the Apostle Paul makes something very clear. He said, this I pray, that your love, church, the revelation of the Father, may abound yet more and more. In other words, it can increase. The revelation of the Father to you can increase. What you know and have experienced about God now can increase and accelerate. Doesn't remain the same. This knowledge, this personal knowledge, may abound more and more to the fullest development. So love is ever expanding in us. The revelation of the Father is ever expanding. We're finding out He's more loving, more joyful, more kind, more generous to us than we've ever known. And so He says, let this thing grow into its fullest development in knowledge and all keen insight that your love may display or show itself in greater depth so that you may surely learn to sense what is vital and prized and excellent and of real value. So he's saying this love, this Father revealed love has got to increase in your life. Now let it increase. So you play a part on allowing this revelation of God, who is love, to increase in your life. You play a very, very vital part of this. Our part is very clear. Here's our part. 1 Corinthians 14:1. God says, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim, your greatest quest. Amen. That's pretty clear. Amen. What's your number one priority to be? Pursue and acquire this love of God. Pursue it and get it, because without it, you're missing the whole purpose of your being here. 1 Corinthians 13:3 talks about faith and all these things, and it says, if I give everything I have, poor, providing for food, and I surrendered my body to be burned, and I did all that, and I didn't do it in love flowing in me and flowing through me, then I gain nothing. Whatever you do, if it's not motivated from love, from receiving the revelation of the Father, and then as a result of it, this is why I do what I do. If it's not for that reason, you gain nothing. It's a waste. It's money down the toilet. No matter what you do, if it's not motivated by a revelation of God to you, His love, and then flowing through you, it means absolutely nothing. Now, one thing the church has sometimes skewed and misrepresented God with is about His love. Somehow, religion has hurt people more than it's helped people when it misinterprets things like the love of God. Sometimes you can go to church and for some reason get in your head that you've got to do things to please God, or you've got to do things to earn God's love. And that's why people come up and say, when they're, you know, want something for God, they'll say things like, "I'm not worthy." Well, where'd you get that idea? Where did you have to earn worth for God to do something for you? "I'm not worthy to get an answer to my prayer." Or they picked up religious ideas, wrong thinking from maybe well-meaning people that taught them that when bad things happen in your life, that's God punishing you. You know, God gave me cancer, God gave me sickness or disease because I was living in disobedience and stuff. That is an absolutely wrong error teaching.
That's right.
That is wrong.
That's right.
You don't know the love of God. And so you have to understand that this love of God that God gives you is not like a human love where you may, you know, receive love from somebody because you've done something good for them, then they'll do something good back to you. It's not like that. God's love is totally, totally unconditional.
Amen.
Unconditional. Very few human people will you ever experience unconditional love from. Even your parents, very few give you unconditional love, but God's love is totally unconditional. In Romans 5:8, we learn God shows and clearly proves His love for us by the fact that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait till you were worthy. He didn't wait for you to clean up your act. He didn't wait till you start reading your Bible or going to church. God just loves you because that's who He is. That's His nature. That's his core of who He is. He just loves you. I shared with you last week, those of you who are here will remember, I shared with you a time I went to a conference, and the conference speaker said that he actually taught on impartation, and impartation is the laying on of hands and believing by faith that what God has given you that you can impart to others. Now, we believe this in the church because the Bible says believers lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We believe that. In Hebrews chapter 6, it says one of the elementary doctrines in the church that everybody should know is the doctrine of laying on of hands. There are impartations that are given through the laying on of hands. Paul and some of the disciples, the impartation of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit many places in the book of Acts was done through the laying on of hands. It's an impartation. It's something, it's an elementary doctrine. The church is supposed to know this, but Amen. Most of the church doesn't know this. Most of the church doesn't even teach it. So I was at this conference, and I believed in impartation, and he taught on it and showed it biblically, very sound, and you should believe to be able to receive impartation from God. And I'd had this done before. I'd been in other conferences, and I asked Bill Johnson, I said, "Lay hands on me, impart to me," and he did. And I asked Andrew Womack, I met him at a conference, and I said, "I believe in impartation, do you?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Would you lay hands on me?" He said, "Sure," and he prayed over me. And nothing that I could see outwardly happened in any of those times. I'm not saying that it didn't, but what I'm saying is by faith you had to believe. But at this one particular conference I was at, and it was Randy Clark, and it's not because these people are big names. That's not important. I was at this conference, and he taught about impartation. I said, "I believe that." But I've already had two other preachers lay hands on me and actually others for impartation. So I go up the very same way, expecting that I'm going to receive something, but it may not manifest. And I go up, and as I'm there, and he comes over and lays hands on me. I think he just prayed in tongues. In about 7 seconds, I had an incredible encounter with God that was tangible. People next to me, some people fell out in the spirit. I didn't. I stood there. But man, I just felt like liquid love was poured all over me. And I didn't understand it. I didn't know what it was. Other than I believed that I received whatever God saw that I needed, he was giving me. I needed 7 seconds, I guess, of a feeling of God's love. And as we were leaving the auditorium after the conference, I was crying and tears just jerked out of me and I couldn't stop it and didn't want to stop it. It was glorious. And I just told Pam, I said, Pam, I think I've just been baptized with the Holy Spirit, baptized with love or something. I'm just, I couldn't explain it. There were no words. 7 seconds is all it was. I didn't fall down. And God just gives you what he sees you need, when you need it and how you need it. And apparently, that's what I particularly needed at that moment. And it was so sacred and special that I'd already determined when I came back to church that next Sunday, I wasn't going to tell anybody about it because I didn't understand it. How could I explain it? And then there came a moment in the service where I felt the Lord said, now tell them what happened to you this weekend. So I went ahead and told it. And people came up and said, I believe in impartation. Would you pray for me? I'd never done that before. I said, well, okay, what I've received, I give to you. I laid hands on people and just prayed and just walked around. And some people fell out in the spirit. Some people shook. Some people fell down and started laughing and crazy laughter. I mean, some bizarre, strange things happened. And this is unusual for a guy who was 20 years a Baptist preacher. But I just saw, well, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't understand this, but I believe you. Amen. And I trust you. And so I began to see we put up obstacles sometimes that keep us from receiving from God. And there's three of those obstacles I don't want to point out to you today. There are many others. But one of them is a lack of confidence. Is this God or is this just me? Well, it's both. It's God and it's you. God's co-laboring with you. You cooperate with God. Is it God or is it me? Quit thinking about that. Just receive. Father, don't let me receive anything that's not of you. Don't let me receive anything that's a trick of the enemy. But I come to fully receive from you without even understanding what I'm receiving. But I trust you because whatever you give me is good. Second reason people hesitate is fear. Yep. What if I go up and nothing happens? What if it does?
That's right.
Why would you hesitate? What if you don't feel anything? So what? I didn't believe that I didn't feel anything when the first two times I went up for impartation. I only felt it that one time. Never had it happen to me again. Will it again? I don't know, but I don't have to have that. It's by faith. Number three hindrance is, what are people going to think about me? Really, should that be something you're concerned about? Really? Are you that important?
Ah, there you go.
I mean, you are to God. But really, why are you so concerned about what people are going to think about you? I mean, this is one of my hindrances. Because I'm the pastor. Man, if I fall down, that is about as dumb as you can get. You're too focused on yourself. Too focused on yourself. The Bible shows us how God flows. He flows. The Holy Spirit flows. In Ezekiel chapter 47... The scripture shows there, Ezekiel had this vision of God working. And when God was working, he showed Ezekiel the vision of the temple, or the holy place of God in heaven. And out of the threshold, underneath the door, was a river of God that flowed. Symbolic of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit flows. Jesus described the flow of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 7. He said, out of your belly will come rivers of living water. There's a flow. It's not striving. It's not forcing. It's just a flow. He also described the Holy Spirit as a wind. It just blows. It just comes. It goes wherever it wants to go, or the Holy Spirit goes where he wants to go. And so there is a flow of the Holy Spirit that we have to cooperate with. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached and he quoted Joel. He said, God's going to pour out his Spirit. So there's a flow. And Pentecost has happened. There's a flow. Let your love flow like a mountain stream, and let your love flow show something it dreams, and let your love grow. If you know what I mean, it's reason. Wang, 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 wang. Get that in your head. You'll stay up all night long. Paul prayed that we experience this. And I don't know how we got around it, but it's right there in the Word in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Paul says, may you be rooted and grounded in love, that you may have power to grasp the experience of that love. It's more caught than it is taught. It's an experience. It's an encounter which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled with the fullness of God, filled and flooded with God himself. He wants you to have this experience. It's an experience. It's an encounter. It's not something you just get up here. He knows what you need, and what you need may be different from somebody else's need. So when God gives you this wonderful encounter of his love, it may manifest differently to different people.
Amen. That's right.
If you come up here and say, I want you to lay hands on me, I just want to see if anything's going to happen, probably nothing's going to happen. If you go up saying, God, I just want to receive from you by faith, I'll trust you, whatever that may be, and you feel nothing at all, but you exercise faith and you've received.
That's right.
You receive what you needed, an experience of the love of God. If you have a manifestation, if you fall down, if you shake, if you laugh, or whatever that may be, just let that happen.
Amen. That's right.
Don't try to make something happen. Don't copycat somebody else. Just be yourself and say, Lord, I'm here. You know what I need. I need to experience what you said in your word. I need to experience personally. And the word know there, as far as knowing the love of God, is not the intellectual knowing. It's the same exact word that was, but would be in Hebrew, that was used in Genesis when it says Adam knew his wife Eve. And she conceived. It's an intimacy. It's an intimate moment that is so sacred and so special that you don't even have the words to describe. God wants you to experience that. He does. Don't be afraid. He wants you to experience. He'll give you what you need when you're ready. This is the greatest thing in the world, to experience the love of God for you. Because you can't give away what you don't have. That's a big part of the problem of the church right now. We're trying to give away something we don't have, or we talk about it. And we can't love people unless we know how much we've been loved. But once we receive this unconditional love of God that just blows all your fuses, it's easy to lay hands on other people. Just love them. Don't try to make anything. Just love them. Let the love flow like a mountain stream. And let the love show with the smallest of dreams. And let your love grow. Because it's the reason. It's the reason you're here. Amen. The reason you're still on earth breathing God's oxygen right now is to let the Father be revealed through you. And if you haven't had this incredible experience of the Father's love being revealed to you, you don't have anything to show but religion. You just want to be a religious person? Or you want to have something to give away that people go, wow, I've had the Father revealed to me. It changes everything in your life. I'm telling you, it'll change you. And it doesn't happen overnight, but you'll begin to love people in a way that you never loved them before because you've received the Father's love. And you know He wants to manifest that love through you. Charles Finney, you may not know him. He was a great preacher during the Great Awakening. He was 29 years old. He was a lawyer. And he'd heard the message of salvation, and he wasn't really sure he was saved. And he decided one day, I'm going to go out in the woods. I'm going to talk to God. I'm going to read the Scriptures. And God, you're going to have to settle this issue with me about my salvation, or else I'm not coming back. I'm going to stay in the woods until I have this matter settled once and for all. And he went out in the woods, and 2 or 3 hours later, he came back to his office, and he was convinced, yes, I am born again. I know I'm born again. I'm never going to doubt again. God, thank you for that. While he was sitting in his office, going about his business, suddenly there was a manifestation of the love of God that hit him while he was in his office doing his lawyer work, and it hit him so strong he had to stop. And he said, it was like waves of electricity going through me, one after another, one after another, one after another. I couldn't stop. And he described it as liquid love, like being poured all over me. And after that encounter with love, he quit his lawyer practice and went into full-time ministry. Wow. Love changes you. Yes, an encounter with love. Not just knowing it, an experience of the love of God just blows all your fuses. It changes everything. You're not afraid to step out anymore. You don't care what people think about you anymore. It doesn't matter. All you want to do is just love the Father while He's loving you back and let the love flow. There was another man by the name of D.L. Moody. You may have heard of him. He had a similar experience. He'd been preaching about the love of God, but saying, God, I've never really experienced the love of God like I've read that some people have. Help me to experience this. And then one day while he was walking down the streets of Chicago, suddenly, without any warning, suddenly it was like the presence of God came upon him so strong. Now, this is a Baptist guy. And so strong that he said he had to duck into a shop owner's business that he knew and said, can I have a room where I can be alone with God? Something, he's talking to me. He's trying to minister to me. And the guy said, sure, go in the back room. And he went in the back room. And there, again, a very similar experience. It was like electricity and liquid love being poured out upon him. He didn't speak in tongues, as far as I know, but he had an experience of the love of God that forever changed him. And he said, this thing is so holy, so sacred, so special. I have no words to adequately explain it. And I'm telling you today, God's not a respecter of persons. What He's done for them, He'll do for you. What He's done for me, He'll do for you. And you'll have something to be able to give away. It'll change you. Why God does these things, I do not know. I do not understand. Some people, when they come under the presence of God that's so strong, they fall under the power. And we think that's strange, because we don't see a lot of it. It was common. It was common back in, even in the Old Testament. In the 2 Chronicles chapter 5, you can read about it. The presence of God came in the temple so much that the priests, they couldn't even stand in the presence of God. It just came in so strong. All the priests fell down. They couldn't stand in the presence of God. That was Old Testament. Before Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon them. That wasn't unusual for God to do that. Isaiah fell down as a dead man before the presence of God. John the Revelator said he fell down as a dead man before God. Daniel fell down as a dead man before God. It's not unusual. It's unusual for it not to happen if you come into the presence of God. Don't judge people. John chapter 18 in the New Testament, the soldiers came for Jesus that night to arrest him. And when they said, "Where's Jesus?" And he says, "I am." And as soon as he said them, the power of God came upon the soldiers and they fell down. Read about it. John chapter 19. It's before Pentecost. It's not unusual. God does some strange and wonderful things to make his presence known to us. Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, resisting God, but met God on the road to Damascus, a blinding light, and it says, and he fell to the ground under the power of God. And we're going to resist God and say, "I ain't falling down. I ain't doing any of that weird stuff. I don't want to look like a fool." I could go there, but I don't want to say that. You'd be foolish not to fall down into the power of God. So it's not uncommon. John Wesley was a Methodist. And he was preaching. And the first time this ever happened, he had a lady. He prayed for her and laid hands on her. And a lady fell out. And it never happened to him before. He'd never seen that before. And when that happened, he was stunned. And he said, "Is there a doctor in the house?" True story. Because he'd never seen that before. But then after that, it started happening more and more and more and more and more. Not that you should seek to have a manifestation. If it happens, wonderful. But believe that you receive. And when you come for impartation, believe that you've received. It may manifest later on. George Whitefield, great awakening preacher, revival, started having strange and unusual manifestations in his meetings. He didn't contrive it, didn't try to manipulate it, didn't try to make it happen. Some people would fall down. Some people would start laughing. Deliverances started happening. And after a while, he started warning people ahead of time because he had to have great outdoor meetings because there wasn't buildings big enough to contain the crowds that would come to hear him. And he would preach to thousands of people out in the fields. He'd let a farmer let him use his field and stuff like that, and he'd preach to thousands without any amplification. And one particular time, he warned people, but before the meeting started, he says, "Now look, we've had some strange manifestations start to happen here that it's God. Don't be afraid of it. But a lot of people fall down." And there were some guys that were climbing up in the trees because they wanted to see and hear George Whitefield because of the large crowds of people. And he warned him. He says, "You fellas better get out of those trees because when the power of God comes, you'll fall out of the tree." And they said, "Oh, you're crazy." And sure enough, the power of God came at a certain moment and guys started falling on the ground like iguanas falling out of the tree. That's a true story. History backs that up. It should be unusual when something's not happening. God is here. We heard that through a prophetic word. God is here. He's ready to heal you. He's ready to give you an experience of his life. He's ready to help you. But you got to cooperate. You need to cooperate. You need to believe. That's all I ask of you. Just believe. And the great thing about this is that faith connects to faith. I had Betty Kruger come up to me at the beginning of the service. And she said, "Have you ever prayed for somebody and had their leg grow out?" I said, "No, I haven't. I've seen it. I mean, I've seen people do it." And Doretha Strickland, I don't know if she's here today, but she's told me several occasions she's actually seen that happen. You know, I've never had that happen to my knowledge. And she said, "I'd like you to pray for me. I got one leg that's shorter than the other." And Betty says, "I've prayed for people and it's happened, but I believe that you're supposed to pray for me." I said, "Well, if I'll join my faith with your faith and we'll just go and pray and we'll just trust God and whatever God wants to do, that'd be fine." So, I'm going to pray for Betty in just a little bit and just see whatever God wants to do is fine. You know, you say, "Oh, you're believing all that hokey stuff." Yeah. You're too late. Because I believe we ought to be seeing blind eyes open, deaf ears open. We ought to see the lame run and walk and leap, and the dead even being raised. That's what the New Testament church did. What's wrong with us? Pride. Yeah, I think it ought to happen. In fact, we ought to be really shocked when it doesn't happen. Boy, where did I miss it, God? I'm not trying to hype you up and get you to do something you don't want to do. Please, don't think that. I'm just saying, look at the New Testament. This is where we ought to be. You either believe or you don't believe. Do you believe all the gifts of the Spirit are operative today? Yes or no? Do you believe healing stopped at the end when the apostles died? A lot of churches believe that. Do you believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit is real and for today, or did it cease at Pentecost? Do you believe people can speak in tongues? Do you believe believers lay hands on the sick, they shall recover? Well, what about those that didn't? I don't know. None of my business. But I know this much. I don't know much, but I know this much. When faith connects to faith, boom, something happens. It may manifest, it may not manifest then. And Pam's preaching on Thursdays. That woman who reached through the crowd, somehow in her heart, she got it in her heart that if I can just touch the hem of her garment, hit his garment, I'll be healed. Amen. And she had the faith of, okay, I'm going to step out. I got to go do it. I can't just wait for him to come to me. I got to go do this. And so she got there, and there's this massive crowd. She can't get to him. She got down on her hands and knees. Wow. Look at her faith. And she reached through the crowd and touched the hem of Jesus' garment while crowds pressed around him. And Jesus stopped and said, "Who touched me? For virtue or power was drawn out of me." When faith touches faith, then power is drawn out of God. He's waiting for us to touch him. He's not a respecter of persons. He's waiting for us to touch him. He wants to heal people. He wants to manifest people. He wants you to encounter his love. He wants to give you so much more than you know what to ask for. First two times when I went up for impartation, I might have been starstruck. I wanted these big name preachers to lay hands on me and maybe give me what they had or something like that. And nothing, as far as I could tell, manifested at that particular time. I may have had the wrong motive. I don't know. Something may have manifested later on. I don't know. But at this particular meeting, when I went up without any reservation, I just come to receive whatever you want me to have. I'm not trying to get this man's gift put on me. I'm just coming to receive whatever it is. And that time, that's when I had that incredible 7 seconds of liquid love. Never had it since. But I believe that what God has given is, someone wrote me a little note last week after telling this story and said, what God gives, he doesn't take back. So if he's given to me what he's given to me, I have the authority to give to you. Not to draw attention to me like, oh, I'm some big whatever. That has nothing to do with it. I'm just a simple person, no better than anybody else in this room. But God has blessed me with an encounter where he baptized me in love. That's the only way I know how to describe it. And I believe that I can give it away by faith, and I'll do my part to impart faith. And if you'll do your part to believe by faith, just to receive whatever God wants you to have, whether it's healing, whether it's deliverance, whether it's baptism of the Holy Spirit, let him decide what it is. Then I believe at that moment when faith connects to faith, something happens. And I don't have to see it to believe it anymore. I just believe. And I prayed a lot about this message this week. And even during the prayer this morning, I was asking God, you got to really confirm to me, God, because I don't want to do something to hype people up. I don't want to do something if it's not of you. There's no need. What's the purpose? But if it's of you, I ask you to confirm to me some way, however you want to do it, that I'm to proceed and lay hands on those who come by faith and impart what you've given me for your glory. And through a series of things that were said in the pre-prayer service, I believe God confirmed it clearly to me. And then the songs and the testimony, it's like, go for it. Go, do it. Step out. Don't hesitate. Don't hold back. Let the love flow. So that's what I'm going to do. And all I want to do is just lay hands on you. I'll probably just pray in tongues for most of you. Just pray in tongues. Let God do whatever He does. Your part's just receive. What, honey? Yeah. I want to, those of you who would like to lay hands, me lay hands on you, and I believe that I'm imparting whatever it is God has for you. If you want to believe for that, then you just come up here and stand. It's not a big show, not a big hype. Just come on up. In fact, when I was there for that impartation meeting, He'd already dismissed the congregation. So I probably will do that too in a minute. He dismissed the congregation. Those who wanted to leave, they went to lunch. And those who wanted to have hands laid on them, we stayed. And we were only a small handful, probably about, 30 people. What, honey? Yeah, I'd like to have some men, some strong men, and ushers up here. Because sometimes people do fall back. And I've never had anybody hurt that fell out in the spirit. One of the first times it ever happened was so amazing. There was a lady that we've been doing some deliverance on, quite a bit of deliverance. And she had a Jezebel spirit in her. And I'll never forget, I came back from a conference, so I was so full of the Word of God. I was like, I didn't have any fear. I was just full of boldness. And she came up to me, and I remember grabbing her by the head like this, and I laughed out loud, which was totally not my nature. I laughed out loud, and I said, Jezebel, get out of here. You ain't coming back ever again. And as soon as I did that, man, she dropped to the ground. There wasn't anybody back there. And it was a wooden floor, and her head bounced off that floor like a coconut. Boom! And I thought, oh, Lord, lawsuit. She's busted her head open. She bounced. And looked at her. No, there was no blood. And I talked to her afterwards, after the service, and I said, you have a headache or anything? She said, no, I feel great. So I've heard people say this. Well, if it's of God and you fall down, you ain't going to get hurt. But if you're faking it, buddy, you might get hurt. So don't fake it. Just receive. Just receive. Yeah. Yeah, you could play a little altar music for us. That'd be good. All right. Wow, that's a lot of people. And we're going to dismiss the rest of you. Thank you for being here. You could have been anywhere today. Thank you for being. If you want to stay, that's fine, but you don't have to. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. And God, I thank you right now by faith in the name of the Lord Jesus. Not for any glory of me, God, because it's not me. Lord, I know, but I cooperate with you. And I pray that what you have given me, God, as best I understand, a baptism of love or whatever that was, impartation of your spirit, according to your word, Hebrews 6, Lord, we believe in this elementary doctrine of laying on of hands, that you will impart through the laying on of hands what you see is necessary for each one. Thank you, God. Just help them to receive. Just receive. Just receive. Just receive.